That's a very. Your beer is much darker than mine.
It is a dark beer, and in fact, it's. I'll let you know what it is. It is a. It's Wicked Weed, Zigbalba.
Zigbalba?
Imperial pumpkin ale with cacao, nibs, chilies, and spices. But it basically just tastes like a stout.
It's
8% ABV. Ooh. So,
nice work.
Our short takes might get a little interesting today. What are you drinking?
Yeah, I am drinking. You can't really see the bottle because it's actually a bomber, but it's called a Nordic Saison. So that's why mine is much lighter.
Saison, like the painter.
It's from Hill Farmstead. I figured I should drink a Vermont beer. And of course, I know you've heard of them. They're the number one brewery in the world, supposedly. So.
Yeah, I think I had some when I was out there, but I don't.
You did?
Yeah, yep. That was good. Did I tell you about the time that I were on the podcast? I had a beer, and I think I had a double, but I didn't look at the ABV. And then after
the show, realize till after.
Right. I forget what show it was. And I think afterward it was like 12% or something. And I remember doing the show and thinking, and it was, I think that the movie we were doing was really heavy. And I was like, man, I'm having trouble with this. I think it came out fine. I slurred my words a little bit, but
that's funny.
That was probably some dense European filmmaker, but
classic.
And it works out.
So something.
You want to do a show?
Yeah, let's do Criterion now.
Yeah,
it's great to talk to you.
Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Hanukkah, let's see, Kwanzaa, Festivus. What else is there?
Those are the only ones I know of. A Festivus for the rest of us.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, I didn't tell you, but I added an airing of the grievances.
Oh, excellent.
So we can just
on
the spot.
We've got some grievances.
I always have grievances. So this is episode 42. This is our last episode of the year, and actually, it's really fitting that we're doing this because we have not done a Christmas show together. We've talked about it, I think every year, and we've done around it, but we've never actually done one on Christmas. I think I'm usually out of town, so sorry about that.
Yeah, timing's tough. I think last year, if I remember, we were going to do Fanny and Alexander, and couldn't get to it. And I forget what the other ones were, but it's funny, we did do a Christmas tale, but not around Christmas.
Yeah, I think we mid December or something. Yeah,
that's what it was. Yeah,
yeah, I think we wrote a check we couldn't cash with Fanny Alexander. I think we're going to do the miniseries 5 hours, and plus you want to watch all the features and but great Christmas movie one day, maybe next year. We're not covering it today. So this is Criterion Now, episode 42. It's, again, the end of the year. I have Mr. Mark Herney, my brother from another mother.
Maybe the you don't say.
My podcasting friend. So really the de facto co-host, even though you're not available all the time. So
not all the time.
How's it going, Mark?
Thanks for having me. It's great to be on again. We were just counting. It's been about a month and a half. Great to talk some Criterions with you. I've been focused on some of the end of the year. Kind of draws me into new releases quite a bit. So it's good for me to kind of dial back and focus on some Criterion for a bit.
Yeah, trying to catch up on Oscar movies and 2017. I'm not quite there yet. I've made some progress, but what have you been up to?
There's a lot out there. A lot out there. Well, I there was a couple shows. I guess the most recent show that I did podcasting wise since I was last on Criterion Now was I joined the In Session Film podcast. Our friends over there, JD Duran and Brendan Cassidy, to talk about three billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri. So that was a good conversation there. I wasn't as big on the film as I had hoped. Had some kind of tone and pacing issues, and it was a little odd because all three of us were kind of in the same boat. And I think that film, may be up for Best Picture. Frances McDormand's still great, but little disappointing for Mr. McDonough. Not my favorite from him.
Yeah, that was when we saw Lady Bird, that was the other film that was playing, and we kind of picked Lady Bird. It sounds like we picked correctly.
You made the right choice. Yes. Yeah.
Have you seen Lady Bird yet?
Yeah, I went with Steph a couple weekends ago for a date afternoon. It's great. It's really good.
I enjoyed it too.
Really solid.
Yeah. In fact, I think I've mentioned my favorites of the year so far, even though I haven't seen too much. Well, actually, no, I haven't actually compiled them all. There's too many.
There is.
Well, we thought we'd kind of do a best of the year sequence, sort of reflect on the year. I mean, we're at the end of the year, and by the way, we're recording on Christmas Eve, but this will come out probably after Christmas. So maybe on some holiday drive home, you can your kids can listen to us talk about Bergman and fun topics like that.
I'm sure they'll love that, and hopefully you got some Criterions in your under your tree. So
right.
to you, Aaron, and to listeners, yeah,
in your stocking, yeah,
or Barnes and Noble gift card or something. I don't know,
something
whatever
actually
is Criterion related.
Did get something, so we'll get into that. One thing that just happened is we had our Best of the Year Criterion Cast episode. You weren't able to make that one, but we had a full house, so we had six people.
You did.
A little crowded. Great. We had six people, and we had a two-hour deadline, which meant one of my things is I'm very time conscious, so I basically just shut up until it was my turn to talk. For the most part, I think I threw in some quips, but I love those shows, listening and participating. Although I haven't listened yet, but one of the limitations with six people is you can only do so many categories. So I thought that since we're here and I have you, we can – well, and you couldn't make that. We could have you chime in, your favorite things of the year, and maybe I can add some categories that I didn't cover. So do you want to just alternate or something? Or
yeah, let's alternate. That way we're kind of going back and forth.
Okay. Well, let's start out. Do you have any – forget about 2017. What about 2018? Do you have any resolutions?
I did make a resolution, Aaron. One thing that I did probably the worst – I've been the worst this year than I have in any other past year as far as watching my Criterion discs. So my New Year's resolution – and the thing is this fits in with Blue February and with Blue December. My resolution is to watch more of my discs, especially the new releases and especially around the Criterion ones. I tend to – the way that my watching goes is I tend to be better early in the year about watching the Criterions. But then as the year goes on and, you know, summers get busy, I don't watch as much. Mm-hmm. And then October I'm thinking horror. And then by November, I'm really focused on a lot of the new releases.
Awards.
And so – yeah. So I just I just miss out on watching my Criterion. So I'm going to try to sprinkle them in more late in the year, but also just really hit them hard early on and make sure I'm watching the movies that I own and not just become a collector and more of a watcher.
Right.
So
yeah,
that's
a hoarder, actually.
Totally.
If you're not watching them, that's really probably the distinction. You buy something you won't use. I'm down with that too. Why not? I'll watch more movies too in 2000. I mean, who cares about the gym and eating well and doing home improvement, that sort of thing? Yeah, we'll watch movies.
Yeah, forget it. Now, well, you and I do that exercise during movies sometimes, so we do have that going for us.
We do, and I had a little Olympia workout today. So,
oh, good.
Worked out.
that's some really good. I've always said that watching football is great for exercise, and Olympic box set should be great for your waistline. That's awesome.
Well, we'll see. I mean, it is, there's 6,000 minutes of it. So a lot of that will be spent on the couch.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So my New Year's resolution, I guess, would be the same thing. The one thing I did succeed in that last year, I was able to, and I guess just doing the show is the motivation. I watched, I didn't watch every single release, but I made sure I had seen every film. So I think there's only two I haven't actually put in, and that's Stalker and General Idi Amin, which I'm going to watch. I'm waiting for Andrea. And Stalker,
You just seen it right before that,
I saw
I remember,
it pretty soon, or pretty close to the release, and I just want to give it some space. And plus, I that's like a special occasion. I know it's amazing. I don't need to just put it in just to see, just to know it's amazing. It's a rainy day movie.
Yeah.
Waistline, movies, eat better, fix the house. Yeah, that kind of stuff. Exciting.
Yeah.
Do well at work. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, being professional.
Actually, I haven't thought about it at all until we just...
I never make New Year's resolutions. That's why this one fits for me, because I kind of don't believe in them, because I figure, you know, you should try to better yourself all the time. But as far as, you know, this movie watching goes, this is the, for me, it's my resolution to watch more of the movies that I bought. So
yeah, I usually don't either, but there was one year that I said I'm going to save money. And Andrea and I were great about saving money. We basically lived cheap. We didn't buy a lot of Criterion. So that's not my resolution this year, although we saved plenty. But it turned out to work out for us. That was actually in 2008, so that was in the recession.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Anyway, good resolution.
Enough about money. We save money to spend it later. No, actually,
that's right.
We're doing just fine. So do you want to talk about some of your favorite titles of the year?
I thought maybe I'd mention a couple categories, and then I will maybe give some honorable mentions towards the end.
Okay.
So for me, the most important release of the year probably doesn't come as a shock to anyone that knows me. It is another film that came out this year from Mr. Stanley Kubrick. And it's Barry Lyndon. I don't know. I think Othello might be the only other dual Blu-ray from this year. Don't hold me to that. But, you know, Criterion really knocked this one out of the park. I haven't been able to delve into the supplements yet, but I'm obviously looking forward to doing that. And the film being on one disc, it looks amazing. It's got the 5.1, and I just, you know, this film screamed for a really good release other than that bare bones one from Warner Brothers. So yeah, I'm so glad it's here.
Just dove into that myself, actually a week or two ago with the Casualty Criterion guys. So that was, yeah, that's great.
Excellent.
Well, I did mention my top movies. Although with that, you had to think of three, and one thing I tried to do is think of titles that other people didn't have. So WCP2, which is phenomenal. That's Martin Scorsese's World Cinema Project. Actually, that wasn't in my top three, but I added it just to make sure it's there. I'll do categories as well, because I had a few that we didn't get to.
So yeah, I'd love to hear these.
Best Upgrade, I think, is kind of a big deal, and you know, I didn't really think about this too much. I'm terrible, but there were a lot of good upgrades and reissues too. There's Rebecca, there's Good Morning, Sid and Nancy, Le Samurai, Ugetsu, Vampire, but I'm going with Othello, and Othello just and I guess that's not technically an upgrade because it's a Laserdisc. It wasn't a DVD, but
right.
But it was so good, and we just
qualifies.
Talked about it a few weeks ago. The filming Othello is just tremendous. So I just fell in love with that movie again, and Orson Welles, just the man, was just such a character, and just really enjoy. So, and I'll also just go ahead and say that my favorite supplement was Filming Othello, which was his documentary about it,
yeah.
Which is basically just him talking for an hour and a half. And occasionally he'd talk to other people, other times to the camera, and I could watch that guy just talking. The cliche is reading the phone book, but
right.
I could.
Could do it.
All right, your turn.
That's great.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I need to dig into that one. That's great. Glad it was a good experience for you. And I just, you know, to piggyback on the, you know, your best upgrade, that was one of really my favorite trend of this year, was the fact that there were so many upgrades, especially of out of print titles.
There were, yeah.
So that really bodes well for Criterion in the future. And especially, you know, in the, you know, this land of 4K Blu-rays, that they're still, you know, putting out the upgrades in 1080p is it's nice to see.
So your turn.
So my I guess the only other thing I really wanted to mention before kind of getting into some brief honorable mentions that I can mention why is my best discovery. This is one I actually wrote about on the site for, and I think CriterionCast.com. It's more of a discovery of the man, the filmmaker, than the movie, but I'll mention the, you know, the movie, cause it was a nice release. The man is John Waters, and the release is Multiple Maniacs.
Okay.
So it's not, I can't back it up as saying it's a great movie. But I had really been wanting to see some of his films, and it gave me an excuse to do that. I actually saw quite a few of his movies. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I'd probably say Pink Flamingos, just for how absolutely nuts it is my favorite. But this is a really good intro to Pink Flamingos. So, you know, for this release, I just want to thank Criterion for introducing me to or giving me an excuse, really, to finally jump into the John Waters, so to speak.
And that was Multiple Maniacs with a little crustacean loving.
That's right.
Yeah, that I didn't love the movie, but I enjoyed it. I think I enjoyed hearing about it. That's one of those that's such a cultural phenomenon, and he is as well.
Exactly.
I'd say that's a good one. I did Best Discovery as well, and I put Kanoa, actually, I forget the subtitle. I don't have it in front of me. Actually, Kanoa and The Breaking Point are both pretty good discoveries. The Breaking Point was the Michael Curtiz, and it was based on the Hemingway To Have Not, but a retelling, which was more based on the novel as opposed to the Howard Hawks film. So, and then Kanoa, of course, Arik talked about it a lot on the end of the year show, and I basically echo his sentiment. It's kind of a horror. It's as far as the politics, it was revelatory. I didn't know about all that, and it really did just cinematically kind of sum up an era and of oppression. So I really enjoyed that, and also just a well done film.
Excellent. Yeah, that's one that I've heard a lot about, and just, you know, a lot of folks on these different podcasts talking about it that I need to check out. I hadn't been able to listen to the year-end episode because my phone's on the fritz. So,
oh no,
I've got one on order, so I'm looking forward to hearing that.
Well, it's good when you get to it.
Cool. So I guess the only other thing, I just wanted to just give some honorable mentions, some favorites that came out this year, and really for various reasons I'll just mention briefly. So I was glad to see, I think this came out in February, Camera Person, mm-hmm. that I know was mentioned on the – I think Jordan had this as one of his picks, if I remember.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Looking at the list. So this was my number two film of 2016, and just behind Manchester by the Sea. And yeah, it's great disc. Love the fact that it includes a short film by Kirsten Johnson. The Before trilogy, it's, you know, I can't say anything more than the gorgeous package, and love the fact that Criterion put that out. So thank you for that. I wanted to give just a quick love again to them breaking out Umbrellas of Cherbourg and The Young Girls of Rochefort. Again, that's with on the heels of La La Land. Those were first time watches for me, and I did dig into the Demi set and just loved both the movies. So I think putting those out, breaking them out, was a solid move.
Okay.
Stalker, with the artificial eye box set that came out. I loved seeing that, and want some more Tarkovsky. I need to watch the supplements on that. Sid and Nancy, that was great to revisit. I loved, mm-hmm. you know, seeing it looking and sounding so great. We got to talk about that with Keith Enright. That was great.
Lastly,
the Le Samurai upgrade finally. Just glad to see it. Unfortunately, not a new scan. It's about 10 years old, I think, that mm-hmm. scan that was made for the DVD.
It was fine.
It still looks great.
It did, yeah. And how cool is Alain Delon?
I know. So cool.
So cool. If we could just have a fraction of his coolness, we probably wouldn't be doing this podcast.
We wouldn't know what to do with ourselves if we were that cool. Yeah.
Well, so that's a good – thank you for honorable mentions. I actually had a lot of films that I wanted to add. And in fact, I was kind of that guy, and we prepared these ahead of time. We had a Google Doc, and I had like 20 titles on my list. I had to narrow down to three, and
I think
David said, guys, you have to just kind of make the cuts. So I just did.
Yeah.
But actually, now that you mention a Camera Person, as far as that actually could be considered a discovery, but since it's a new film, I mean, that one really, really got to me. And I talked about it some on that show in response to Arik, but yeah, I love that movie on a lot of different levels. The Before
fabulous.
Trilogy, that's one that that actually is sentimental, and I talked about it a few times how it impacted me. And so it was, it's actually surprising that big of a film, big of a box set did not make my top three because it's so important to me. But It was a big year. And then the Marseille trilogy, and what's funny on the Criterion Cast show is they referred to my love of French films a lot, and I didn't take the bait because of the time, but because I could have said a lot about the Marseille trilogy, but I really did enjoy that, and I think I mentioned that for packaging. It really is a great package.
Beautiful.
Blow Up, I thought was terrific. We watched that again in theaters at Film Forum, and I watched it on disc. So that's twice in 1 year, and it really it does get better. And even with just a few months in between viewings, you mentioned Barry Lyndon. Actually, I'll echo that. I came around on Barry Lyndon finally, despite Ryan O'Neill. In fact,
despite Ryan O'Neill,
I'm vastly outnumbered on Ryan O'Neill, and so I'll throw out up the white flag. It's fine. And then The Piano Teacher, I thought was just – it's a difficult watch, but just such a movie. And Huppert gives just really a stellar performance. And even however difficult, watching that again and also hearing from her and behind the scenes, that was very impactful. And then finally, this was my favorite cover, was Bresson's L'Argent.
Oh, yeah.
Very minimalist, but and it was a first time watch for me this year, and I really this one was not on my top five Bressons to see, although I think I've seen most of them now, but yeah, it really won me over. Great film. Did you watch that yet?
I haven't yet. No, I just need an excuse. You're talking about it made me wanted to check it out, so I will.
Yeah. Do you have any others? Because I have a challenge for you.
Yes. I don't have any other – no other honorable mentions or categories.
And now I know I'm putting you on the spot here, and you don't have the list in front of you, but what about your – let's do some haterade. What was your hate most – what did you hate the most?
Good question. You know, I have – oh, man.
I know. That's
I had a list of the all the titles in front of me at one point. I don't think I have it anymore.
Well, I'll tell you what, I have one. Mine's actually pretty easy. So if you want, I'll give mine and you can think about yours.
Yeah. Well, I have a feeling I might know what yours is, but yeah, go ahead.
Well, go ahead. Guess.
Well, I was going to guess The Lure.
That's actually close. Although the thing is, The Lure is so much fun that even though I don't love it as a movie, I could see myself watching it again just because it's so it's just a blast. But it's not a good movie.
Right.
It's just a lot of fun. So mine was Jabberwocky.
It was
such a disappointment watching it again. And you know, I talked about it on another show, how it kind of didn't live up to Monty Python, didn't live up to Terry Gilliam, didn't live up to Lewis Carroll, kind of a disappointment all around. And the release was okay, but yeah, I think they could have done a little more to justify. Of course, I still proudly keep it on my shelf. So,
yeah.
I guess
I could see that. It's one of the only Gilliam I haven't watched yet. I just haven't gone back that far. So, I guess the only one. I don't even know if I could go with. I don't really have one.
That's fair.
I think the only if I was going to give any haterade, I'm going to give it to a store, Barnes & Noble, for not delivering my package of the Olympic films and Idi Amin and Election yet. Yeah, it hasn't shown up for some reason.
That's a big deal.
So.
Okay. Still not?
Yeah.
You pre-ordered and all that?
I did, yeah. I don't know what's going on. I sent them an email, and I got to call them right after the holidays, see what's going on. Someone didn't like steal the package or something.
You have got to get that Olympic set. That is,
I know.
Yeah, Merry Friggin' Christmas. Hopefully somebody didn't steal it. I don't know if it has mass appeal, but somebody might arrive at somebody's doorstep and be like, what?
Right. Who
6,000 minutes of Olympic films? Okay. And they put in the 1928 7.5 hours. I'm like, what in the world? All right. Well, should we just talk about the year? What kind of a year has it been for Mark Carney? I actually know the answer to this question.
Yeah. I mean, from a overall standpoint, that's kind of interrupted my podcasting and just some upheaval on the professional side for me, for sure. So personally, everything's been great, but professionally, things change quite a bit. So I think that did affect my movie watching some. But I did. It kind of ties into my piece of flair, but I have been going into the theater a little bit more, which I think that's always a positive thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, and I did get down to Boston, so I was able to check out Mother down there.
Yeah.
So that was cool. Got to meet Jonathan and Derek. So it was a good time. So that's a positive. And that was like right on the cusp of my professional upheaval. So
right. And that's right.
That was a positive.
Yeah, I think you rolled with that pretty well. I had some professional upheaval as well. I started a new job last year.
Right.
Excuse me. Beer. I had started a new job last year, and this year was just coming into, just getting into the swing of things. And but it's gone extremely well. I love the place. It's corporate. It's insurance. I'm not going to talk about it on a podcast. Not very exciting, although it might be exciting to my coworkers who now know about this podcast.
Right.
But, of course, this show, we kind of slowed down on Criterion Close Up. And in fact, I don't know, that ship might have sailed. But so this, I've enjoyed doing this mostly every week. So 42 weeks out of 52. And we did that one Arrow episode.
That's right, because it started right at the beginning of the year. That's right.
Yep. And given that the worst thing that happened to me this year is I got laryngitis, which is not fun. I don't recommend it. So I
can't podcast with it. Yeah.
Yeah. Given that, and still managing to miss just really 9 weeks, I'm pretty pleased with that. And plus,
yeah,
I travel.
Great output.
All that. So, film wise, I think, like I said, I haven't put together my 2017 list. So it'll probably be somewhere down the road. Maybe next year that I'll figure that out.
Yeah.
So I think, so far, Lady Bird's up there. Columbus is up there. Florida Project. Of course, we talked to Sean this year. Had some good guests this year, I think. It's been a good year for the podcast, for me. So here's to a new year.
Cheers.
Hopefully this podcast doesn't suck. Yeah, let's. We're taking a sip here.
Cheers. Yeah, and people are listening, people are enjoying the show, so it's really, really great to hear. And the show's really filling, over this past year, filling a niche of all the Criterion news, so it's kudos to you for being dedicated to it, keeping it going over 42 weeks. That's really impressive over a year, and plus, all the editing. So nice work, Aaron.
Thank you for kudos, but it's so easy. I'm just living my life and talking about it. That's all it is.
Yeah. It's the best way to podcast.
Sometimes the editing is, I guess if I'm going to accept kudos, it's for editing and turning these things around.
There you go.
Well, we teased it earlier. You want to air some grievances since we talked about good things? Let's, what are we pissed about?
I guess in film or just in general?
Whatever.
All right. So what am I pissed about? I'm kind of tired of most of what I'm seeing on social media, especially politically.
Okay.
I'm kind of tired of politics in general. I could just do without it. And like I said, it was professionally a difficult year, and I'm glad to be on the other side of it. As we were talking offline, I work now at a job that allows for beer from time to time. So I had a beer on this past Thursday. So there's a kegger right there. So that's a good thing. But otherwise, I'm a pretty happy-go-lucky guy. I don't get upset by too much that's out there. I think I did probably, like I say, go into my shell a little bit more on the social side, just because, I think with what's going on politically is just kind of driven me crazy. I've never swiped so much on my newsfeed, just ignore so many things.
That's why movies, man. I think the resolution is right. Just tune that stuff out. Yeah.
Tune it out. Watch movies.
Airing a grievance is that was not, you'll hear a joke I made on the Criterion Cast, episode that kind of refers to that pretty quickly. Well, actually, what's fresh in my mind is I saw The Last Jedi the other day, and my airing of grievances is the theater is just so – it's just such a pain nowadays. There were 30 minutes of trailers. I checked my watch because I went after work. I know the box office has been down. I think actually overall they made it up because of Star Wars and some late releases. But
going to the theaters,
It is not fun. And these days, I want to see new movies. I try to go. We love our indie theater; they're terrific. And basically, it's two trailers of whatever it's coming up, and then you're out. There's the movie, but you go to the multiplex, and it's just and the thing is, at the end of the year, it's not just that. So you're watching a good movie, but the thing is, January, February, and maybe even March, bad movies come out. So you watch trailers for the worst pieces of junk. And a lot of those Star Wars trailers, I think, are not going to be pretty highly rated. So, if I'm going to air grievances, that's the one thing. I got home 30 minutes later than I expected because
that's a good one. Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to kind of, figure out, because when you go to Star Wars, you kind of have to go early to get a seat. But lately, I'm like,
right?
I'm wanting to get to the theater right when the movie starts or even after because of all the. Do you have commercials too? That's
commercials
the thing
too,
that drives
yeah.
me nuts. Yeah. I swear it's like 10 minutes of commercials.
It is. Yeah.
Awful.
Yeah.
There's.
Yeah.
And
the pre-show stuff. Yeah. Yeah. They've really turned the theatrical experience into. And plus, so it was a longer movie, but I think the whole time investment was like 4.5 hours just because,
We went with my family last weekend. I bought tickets ahead of time and we got there at least, I think we were there about 45 minutes early to get in line and all that. And the thing I do like about the theater, that my favorite theater is my local one, my closest one, because they're the only one that is locally owned by someone other than the guy that owns all the other ones. And they show very few to no commercials. They do the previews. So that's a big win in my book. That'll get my repeat business.
Same here. Any other grievances or movie related? Any trends? Fox, the takeover of Disney, is that a grievance? Or net neutrality, is that a grievance?
Yeah, it doesn't really bother
me. It
ties
into politics.
Yeah, it doesn't really bother me as much as it probably does other people. I do like competition, and I think not having one company own everything is good. But I look at something like Star Wars, and I think Disney's done as well as they can, and I would say pretty good with a property like Star Wars. I like with what they're doing with it. So, movie wise, no. I mean, I just like the fact that I don't really have anything bad to say. I'll just say to moviegoers, please be quieter when you eat your popcorn because digging through the bag drives me nuts.
Okay, that's very appropriate. And by the way, I just poured the last of my little big bottle. I think it's 16 ounces.
Excellent.
It'll be a great short take. And actually, it's a great timing with grievances to be drunk. I'm not. I have one more. One more grievance is that social media in film communities, people take themselves so seriously and opinions, we this is not social media, but we invited a couple to the Florida Project, and one of them was so incensed by the subject matter and that he made a scene outside after the movie. It was very uncomfortable for me because I know know these people. It was very inappropriate.
Incensed by the subject matter of the Florida Project?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, I won't get into his deal, but you can probably guess. Basically, he thought that she should have been on welfare, and he faulted her for putting herself in that situation and then being a bad mother, which I think that's there.
Yeah, I mean it's both sides of that story is there in that film. That's what makes it. That's one of the great parts of it. So yeah.
But I'm kind of addicted to social media, and sometimes there'll be these threads in groups or in on pages that are so negative and so drama filled, and they're actually there's the joke about eating your popcorn. They're fascinating to read because it's just seeing how people overreact and get so worked up about stuff. So everybody, 2018, chill out. It's not
chill
important.
Out. Yeah.
Chill
and
out.
Don't take yourself. So seriously, and don't take the things that I guess my last grievance, I'll just mention another one that's really kind of tied to that is don't take yourself, but also don't take the things that you love so seriously in feeling like you own them to the degree, to a greater degree maybe than you should. So with that, I didn't realize this, but talking to my friend Keith Silva after seeing The Disaster Artist, we were talking about The Last Jedi, and apparently there's petitions out there to get the movie removed from canon. And I'm
that's a great example.
You know, I just I don't understand the backlash against that movie, really. I mean, I can sort of see where they're coming from and wholeheartedly disagree. But, you know, and I can understand maybe a feeling of ownership that people have. I think there's some of that with Criterion, you know, there's backlash against something like
covers
The Breakfast Club coming out covers or something. You know, it's like you feel a sense of ownership, but it shouldn't give you a feeling of entitlement, you know, that you you know, something doesn't belong. Someone makes a decision that you don't agree with. You're fine to disagree, but it's a little over the top.
10 minutes ago in this podcast I was listening to, this guy was bitching about Jabberwocky. I mean, seriously.
Come on.
Get over yourself. All right. So we've turned this podcast into a bitch session. So
Thanks for, you know, allowing that, Aaron.
It actually felt good. What do you think?
Yeah. we should be able to do that. You should be at the end of the year, you make your resolutions, and you also get to bitch a little.
So, I think I get Festivus. I'm on board.
Definitely. Did you get the metal pole? I don't have one.
No. Metal pole. No.
Okay. That's part of instead of a Christmas tree, they just have a metal pole.
I did not. So, I probably have one somewhere in that house. I'll make sure to put it up with maybe next to the tree. Well, I guess we could move on. So you referenced it earlier. We're doing this thing called Blue Christmas, and so the idea is that we're going to watch Blu-ray movies, and ties into your resolution, not watch streaming or online. So far, I started with The Apartment, which just arrived from Arrow, and then I've been watching the Olympics set. I've kind of sort of been binge watching the Olympics, but I kind of like, even though I stole it from Matt, and I unapologetically, I love the idea of just watching Blu-rays over this this holiday season.
That's great.
I'll do something else. I'll probably do housework and other stuff, but
not just movies, but mostly movies.
Mostly movies, yes. Do you have any thoughts about Blue Christmas, or are you going to partake, or?
Yeah, it's great. Unfortunately, I don't usually. I take the week of Christmas off, so I won't have as much time. I just have through Tuesday off. So, I'm not sure what I'm going to watch, but I can say I posted this on the Facebook group. My first watch was Christmas in Connecticut, which was a DVD, physical media. Mm-hmm. And that was great. Steph and I actually, we started it last night. She fell asleep. We finished it today. We both thought it was a lot of fun.
I love that, by the way.
It's great. Yeah,
that she falls asleep and you finish it later. That's a great thing.
So common. Yeah, I feel like we should just watch movies during the day on weekends instead of trying to watch them at night.
By the way, I do not fall asleep in movies. Even I know my body clock, and if it's if I'm feeling that, I go to bed. So
smart.
Yeah, Steph and I are cut from different cloth in that regard. So I also have 4 days off, but we don't have any plan or any major plans. This Christmas we're seeing family after, so which actually kind of works out. So I have 4 days off, 3 days on, and then 3 days off again. So I'm actually going to be productive. And actually, New Year's resolution, I'm going to work on our new show over this holiday break here. So
excellent.
Yeah. So anyway, Blue Christmas, and actually that'll tie into that too, because I have to watch movies for that.
Right.
Pity me. How's your beer?
Good. It's delicious. They I like saisons, you know, in moderation, but I mean, Hill Farmstead's so good. It's really great.
Oh, saison. I misunderstood you. So Saison. Okay.
Right. Yeah. What did you think I said?
Paul Cezanne. I thought you were pronouncing.
Oh. Yeah.
Mine's almost done here, and it's strong. That's gonna. And I'm about to talk about a propaganda film. So what's the worst that can happen?
Perfect. I actually poured, you know, because it was a bomber, I poured a little more, so I'm good.
Good for you. Good for you. Yeah. Well, we have, we don't have a lot of news stuff. We have the new releases, so the big thing is the Olympic set, which is somewhere in some post office somewhere, hopefully.
Or some guy's basement or some pawn shop. We'll see.
Pawn shop. I'm sure the pawn shop, that's probably a hot item at pawn shops right now. That's right.
Give me that Olympic box set.
How much? So that was out. Actually, these have been out a while now. We also had Election, Monterey Pop, and General Idi Amin Dada, a self-portrait. And I'm still really looking forward to Idi Amin. I think seeing a cinema verite film about a dictator, you know, I'm not going to say I like him, but I'm kind of intrigued by that.
Me too.
Again, waiting for the wife to watch that. So did you get to watch any of these? Or
No, I haven't.
The Olympics.
Right. I'm waiting for the box. I actually wanted to almost checked out Election ahead of time, but I'm just going to wait till the blue. So
the Olympic set is so good. You probably didn't hear, but it was my number one, and that was based on 5 discs, and I'm now through 6 discs, and it's just so good.
It's fabulous.
It is a treasure.
Good year.
It is, yeah. So, speaking of 2018, Janus Films put up their...
And big box sets.
Yeah, well, hopefully. I think the detectives have their magnifying glasses out, but... So Janus Films posted their page for the Ingmar Bergman 100th centennial birthday restoration tour. So there's, I think, 24, 25 films. I didn't count, but
it's 24 on the site, it says.
24. So they're all going on tour. I know there was some comment about the silence. They put up Martin Scorsese's silence.
Oh, really?
They did, yeah. I think they corrected it since then. And I also love, when I first saw it, it's the same logo that we use for the show, for the
That's right.
the hand. So I thought, what are they retweeting my show or our show?
No,
that's just a pretty important image from film. So I did check with my indie theater, and they're only getting Persona, I think, as a starter, just to see how people take it. You know, Bergman in a small town, I don't know how that'll go.
I'm sure we won't get much of this, if any of it, unfortunately.
It might be worth taking a trip to New York or the Brattle in Boston to check out, but either way, the hope is a box set. So Centennial, Everything box set. What do you think?
Yeah. I was jumping at that at first. I thought, you know, for sure that's going to happen. But I'm kind of dialing that back because for what it's worth, if you look at the formats the formats that you can actually project these films in, I think most of them have DCP. A number of them have 35 millimeter. But some of them do not have Blu-ray, which makes me wonder, you know, if they're just comparing it to the current format that's available, or does that mean it could get a Blu-ray release in a box set? I don't know. I just wonder what a set like this would look like because it also includes some items from the early Bergman Eclipse set, I believe.
It does,
so
yeah,
that's why I don't know.
Everything. That's. So why not include that stuff, everything that's not released, everything that is. I wouldn't read into the Blu-ray because I've noticed just seeing previous releases that sometimes that doesn't correlate with what's going to come out on and actually it might be the box set that it becomes the Blu-ray.
Right. Yeah, that would make sense.
So I hate to ask this, but are you excited about the potential of a 24-film box set? That, and by the way, I just preface, we have no inkling of an idea that this is going to happen. This is
none.
Pure speculation.
No. Yeah, I mean, I definitely excited. I think the biggest issue for me is I have so many of these that I don't know if I would rebuy or not, or, you know, sell the other ones or give them away or whatever. But I think Bergman box set would be fantastic. It would, you know, of course you think of the AK-100 set that came and went from Akira Kurosawa. I think it would be just a glorious thing to see from Criterion.
So let's just assume this is happening and say it is 24 films and say it's $200 and there's 10 films that aren't out yet. So, and then, you know, you have Seventh Seal and Wild Strawberries and Persona. Mark Herney, are you buying that at a sale?
Tough call. Yeah, it's a really tough call. It would depend on the supplements and what it looks like. One of the things I was thinking, jumping at right away, is that I have this gorgeous dual format version of Persona. Right. I've got this beautiful version of Fanny and Alexander, you know, in a digipack. And what would the new versions of those look like? So probably, but I don't know. How about you?
Do you even have to ask? I would, absolutely. Yeah. And worry about the shelving and all that later. Yeah. I'm actually not a shelving aficionado. I probably should be, but yeah, I'd find a place for it and find a place for the others. But yeah. I have a feeling that they, with the releases they've done previously, that they'll do something special. All right.
Yeah, well, I would think
there's not a lot of news because we're at the end of the year, and that's just the reality. Most people are on vacation. Oh boy, I'm a little tipsy. Can you tell?
Yes. as you should be at the end of the year.
I should be. Yes. So another thing is Ed Lachman was at the Criterion office. So now he's been a part of. He's a cinematographer. A part of a lot of projects. So I think he was rumored for True Stories, which is the David Byrne project. And he's been in the collection for something else. Oh, and of course, he did The Virgin Suicides, which has been teased, and it looks like it's going to happen.
Right.
So
yeah, that's probably the reason that he was there. Yeah. But he did do. Yeah, Virgin Suicide, same year. I didn't realize this. He did The Limey. That would be wonderful.
You know, I don't like The
Personal
Limey.
Favorite.
I'm gonna.
No.
Yeah, I know. I'd be willing to give it another try. Yeah. he also did a lot of Todd Haynes stuff. He did Carol. Yeah. Boy, Carol would be great. Or yeah. I'm not there.
I was thinking Far From Heaven because that's Far never been Heaven. On Blue in the U.S. It's only been in Canada, maybe some other countries.
Would make so much sense. And plus they already have the other two in that trilogy. That's Ollie Furied's The Soul and Douglas Sirk's All That Heaven Allows. So
yeah,
it would be a nice. How about a box set for that?
That'd be great. That'd be gorgeous. Yeah, so he did Life During Wartime, so yeah, he's got that in the collection. Yeah.
Ken Park too. So you never know. That always gets brought up. That and Kids. So something with him is happening. Oh, and also the Paradise Trilogy, which was on Filmstruck.
Yeah.
He did that as well. So you never know. And he did Wiener Dog.
Right.
Todd Solon. So I guess he likes working with directors named Todd.
Yeah. Yeah, and Wonderstruck this year from Todd Haynes again. So,
right.
Yeah.
Which just came out recently, and I understand it's pretty good, but not like Carol type of guy.
Not like Carol, yeah. Right. Yeah, I wanted to see it in the theater. I tried to sell my family on going to see it, but they thought the trailer looked too weird. So,
well, it's Todd Haynes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's it. So shall we do some short takes, sir?
Yeah, it sounds good. I can kick it off. This was a movie that I think you did. I know you did a short take, and I think someone else may have too. Keith did, or he talked about it in relation to your short take. But I really the reason I mentioned earlier that I like to catch up on the films of that particular of that current year, late in the year. So this film was considered a 2017 release. For in the U.S. came out 2015 in Poland, and so I had to check it out. And I wasn't in love with it when I first watched it, but it really has kind of grown on me. And I put it on a little bit last night, kind of as background, and I was listening to it today as on Spotify and just listening to it.
Yeah, the music is good. Yeah.
Yeah, just listening to it as a soundtrack, I really like it. It's I think as Matt Gasteyer might say, it's my jam. It's my kind of music, just dark, aggressive sometimes. I really enjoyed listening to it again. But the film itself, I like quite a bit. I like the aesthetic of it, the mix of the horror, the musical parts of it. you know, the mm-hmm. actual musical, you know, singing parts of it, not as much. I like some of the musical numbers better. I like the, you know, my favorite musical scene is called The Lure, which I think is the first scene when they are there together as a band, The Lure, with the kind of the green light and the electronic beat. Just the choreography between the two of them is great. But yeah, and it really is. It's a literally a fish out of water movie. I like that. And I even saw a little bit of, I guess you could say with that fish out of water, a little parallel to Man Who Fell to Earth, because you have people who, you know, in that case, Bowie's an alien. He gets corrupted by, you know, the excesses of this world. And you could say, you know, the same maybe of the, you know, of our two mermaids. So, yeah. And, you know, lastly, I guess the other thing I'll say is just the fact that, you know, having a female director doing horror, and I just signed me up. I can't wait to see what she does next. So definitely positive on The Lure for me.
It certainly checks a lot of boxes. That's a genre boxes.
Yeah. And, well, just, you know, and the commentary on just, you know, sexuality and, you know, femininity, it's really just some really interesting imagery there. I think you could really pull a lot from it from a feminist perspective. It's really, absolutely, really affecting in that way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. How about you?
I think I need a coffee and a cold shower to get to mine. not really. So my short take is Olympia, Leni Riefenstahl, which is pretty controversial. It is a propaganda film. And I tend to go into these blind. I don't read about a lot of the behind the films. And so I kind of expected Triumph of the Will, that sort of propaganda. And I am... didn't really research beyond that. And so it was not quite that much propaganda. I think the propaganda was more about how Germany was hosting the games, and they were really in line with the Olympic spirit of sportsmanship, winning and losing graciously. And and actually, I think a lot of the filmmaking kind of is in that vein. And there is Adolf Hitler, and yes, he is an asshole, and I'm never going to defend that man.
Spoiler alert, Adolf's an asshole. I love it.
There you go, yeah. So yeah, there is propaganda in the film. However, it was not as much as I expected. In fact, at times it kind of seemed like any country's footage of Olympics, it's going to be slanted towards their country, and I kind of thought that... That's kind of the perspective with Germany. They did focus a little bit on the German athletes, and yes, there was the ideal athlete, and that did play into their ideal Aryan, the racial purity, and yes, you did not see all the the anti-Semitism and that Jews were banned, and actually, they did show African Americans, which of course Jesse Owens basically kicked the living crap out of everybody in the Olympics, and they were actually praised him, and you got to see all that. But from a filmmaking perspective, and this is where this is tough. So I have trouble with Triumph of the Will and maybe like Birth of a Nation. Mm. I can recognize the technical achievement, but I can't really embrace the film. I wouldn't say I would never watch those again, and I would not say they're good films. I would say they're well done films and important films, maybe. This one actually, so yeah, it is a propaganda film, but it's actually a masterpiece. I don't use that term lightly. I think you'd agree there. It's the sports footage, and so they have a little bit beforehand. They show the torch relay, and then they and they talk about how great really the Berlin is with hosting the Olympics. But when they get into the sports footage, it's really just phenomenal filmmaking. They show unique camera angles. And one thing they do is they capture the drama of the sport, which I would say that up until now, the previous films hadn't done. And I think it's actually revolutionary just in sports documentary footage, period. So even, you know, I think I mentioned on one of the podcasts that the yachting and rowing is not as exciting, but this film even made that exciting, and soccer and so forth. And so I was actually transfixed on this film, and it's a four. It's two parts. I think it's about roughly 4 hours. So I was actually taken aback by it. I know that's probably some people will say, "Okay, yeah, Hitler was terrible," and yes, again, asshole. Can't. I'm not never going to defend that man or his regime. But historically, I'd say this is important. And as far as a film and a sports film, it's pretty remarkable. So.
That's great. Wow. It's the M word. I'm glad to hear it, Aaron. I can't wait to watch this one.
I know. Yeah. So
nice.
Some people probably will watch it and be pissed off, and that's fine. You can be.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's, you know, it's hard to remove the filmmaking from the film, but that's great, Aaron. Yeah. Glad you had that experience. I'm looking forward to seeing it once I can get my, you know, my box set from the pawn shop. I'll look forward to it.
I'm sure that whoever buys it from the pawn shop is going to be really be into a reinstall.
That's right.
Well, yeah. All right. Should we get into Filmstruck? There's not a whole lot here. Oh yeah, one thing I teased that I won some swag.
Yeah, congratulations on that.
So I actually, here is the swag. It is the Swell bottle. Can you see this?
Oh yeah, very cool.
It is. It has Filmstruck logo. The Swell bottle. It's been kind of trendy. I've seen people have it. It's supposed to hold, I think, cold drinks for 24 hours and hot drinks for 12, and maintain the temperature. Now, of course, I just went through a 16-ounce beer in 20 minutes or so, or 30 minutes. So that it wouldn't help me here.
You didn't test it, but yeah.
I did not test it for this this project, but it's cool. So thank you, Filmstruck, for sending me this thing.
Yeah, it looks very cool.
It is. It's only 9 ounces, though. It's, of course, you know.
Oh, yeah. It does look a little small, but still,
I know. Yeah. I'm not going to air any grievances here. I'm fine with it.
Well, it's plenty big to put some booze in. You could use it as a, you know, as a, I don't know. Just
in case you're somewhere for 12 hours or actually 24, you need to keep your booze cold, and it's like 180 proof.
Right. Right. Yeah. So, people won't know that it's a flask was the word I was looking for. Yeah.
There you go, actually. It is a cinephile flask.
Yep.
Bring it to the movie theater.
Cineflask.
Nice. Cineflask. So, Filmstruck, we had some new main channels collections. We had the director of the week was Jane Campion, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's great. Yep. Some stuff on there I haven't heard of or seen. That's great.
Yeah, so the big ones are Sweetie, well, of course, The Piano, Holy Smoke, and Angel at My Table. But there are some others, yeah. The Passionless Moments, which was an early film of hers, and actually a couple others from the 80s. So, so Mark Kearney, Jane Campion, what do you got to say?
Oh, I'm a fan. I've seen Sweetie, An Angel at My Table, and The Piano, and really kind of, you know, really like to love all three movies. So, I just wish I, you know, again, it's Blue Christmas. I wish I had some more time and I'd watch all of these. But I really do want to see Holy Smoke, especially the 99 movie with Kate Winslet, young Kate Winslet. So
I actually did not love that one. And I had trouble with Sweetie too, but the Piano is great, and I've seen other things from her that's pretty good. And also on the main channel there was Kobayashi's The Human Condition. This was pretty interesting because this seems like something that would be in the Criterion Channel.
Yeah, it was odd.
I still haven't seen this, and this Blue Christmas I'm not going to get to it just because it's a big,
it's long,
big time sink, and I have this plenty of competition. But have you seen it?
No. Same reason. Just that I love Kobayashi, but yeah, it's just the time.
Yep. The time. Yeah, one day. And then there was another one starring Fernandel. So he's a French actor, and he's been in some films that I've liked, and he's also kind of a. Well, he was in the DeVivier dance program, Incarnated Ball, which is actually not on here, although The Man in the Raincoat is, which is a later DeVivier. And some other films that I don't know, but he's kind of a I think he did some comic roles. He's more of a character. So you probably don't know him, do you?
No, I couldn't even picture him from Incarnated Duval.
He was the guy that ran the nightclub in Incarnated Ball.
Okay. Yep.
So, yeah, Fernando, there you go. So that's that.
Yeah, yeah. He's got a distinctive face, but yeah, otherwise you probably wouldn't know him.
Yes, big teeth. Very big teeth. A big smile. And then the Criterion Channel. So, of course, the Filmstruck is winding the year down. But they do have a few things to end the year. They had two new little, I guess, featurettes. One was, I'll start with the Creative Marriages, which is Juzo Itami and Nobuko Miyamoto, which is a little feature about their collaboration on specifically Tampopo and A Taxing Woman. And I actually started it, but I did not finish it because I haven't seen the latter yet. And I'm kind of hopeful that it'll come on disc someday. But did you watch it or do you like that?
No, I didn't get a chance to check that out.
I also didn't want to watch Tampopo again because I'm afraid that I will just not stop eating ramen because it's so good. That would not play into my New Year's resolution.
Right. Yeah.
And then the other feature was Observations on Film Art 14, which is David Bordwell. And I also skipped, well, I kind of watched the beginning, but this was Harold Lloyd's Gunshy and how Harold Lloyd interacts with classic Hollywood. I watched the beginning, but I didn't finish it because I haven't seen Gunshy. And you know, not that I'm worried about spoiling a nearly 100-year-old film, but you know, with Harold Lloyd, I want to see the gags the first time on my own terms. So,
yeah, certainly. Yeah, I haven't seen that either. Girl Shy.
And Harold Lloyd comes up on our prediction polls all the time as like a wish list coming to the collection. So I'm hopeful we'll get more from him. I personally think he's a genius. I mean, he's so funny.
Yeah. Yeah, we're due for some more, Lloyd or Chaplin for sure.
Yeah, we're not going to get
2018.
Keaton, I think, because that ship has sailed. But I'm hopeful. And then there was the short feature was Timepiece with Jim Henson and Tom Jones. And the Jim Henson series has been praised, and I have not watched it. But and Tom Jones, I'm waiting for the disc. So I have a feeling this is going to be like, have you watched this? And no. So.
Yeah. I haven't watched this one. I sampled a little bit of the Jim Henson. It's really nice that they've got the, some of his other work on Filmstruck, a way to see it. So speaking of Jim Henson, they just announced the Dark Crystal is coming to 4K Blu-ray in a new transfer. So that'll be awesome. Yep.
Yeah. If it weren't Blue Christmas, I might binge watch all the Jim Hensons, but it's Blue Christmas. Right. So I'm going to watch my discs. And then we had the Friday double feature, which was Stephen Frears' Sherry. I don't know. And Journey to Italy by Roberto Rossellini. So I have not seen Sherry, but I've seen Journey to Italy a couple times. And I'd say I wouldn't put the M word in front of that, but I'd say it's a pretty solid movie. So have you seen Sherry or the Rossellini?
I haven't yet. That's again, the box set's on my shelf, so I just need to watch it. And I watched a couple of Frears this year, but not Sherry yet. So
Sherry is a recent Frears. It's 2009, and he came up on some podcast. Actually, it might have been with you and Keith, and we thought that, he's a great director, but then we looked at the last 15 years, and it's like, maybe not.
Not much there.
Not much. So then we have some Christmas programming, and this is a winter film. My Winnipeg was the short feature, along with the short Light is Calling from Bill Morrison. And Bill Morrison is a filmmaker that I'm really intrigued by, and I haven't dived into him. I'm actually waiting for a sale on his BFI set, because I really love the BFI short series sets, like The Bracket, or not The Brackage, but... like the Humphrey Jennings and
Jennings, that's the one. Yeah, they do a good job.
Who's the guy? The Kenneth Anger as well.
Oh yeah, yep.
Of course, My Winnipeg is the best Christmas
love it.
Winter film. And that segues well into the Friday double feature for the final weekend of the year, which is The Apartment and My Winnipeg. And I'll say that I actually just got
watched.
I just watched on the Arrow series. That's interesting that they licensed that, and it's coming out in the U.S. Is it out yet, or I don't know? Have you bought it?
I haven't, you know, I've got another Blu-ray version of it. So I'm just reticent to rebuy anything, but I do want to get this Arrow version. It just came out on the 19th in the U.S.
And I'm sorry, that was actually a typo. It's not My Winnipeg with the apartment double feature. It is a Brief Encounter, which is kind of an interesting pairing. Because I guess you could say the apartment, they have a brief encounter.
That's right.
But it's...
It's all about lots of brief encounters.
Totally,
right?
It's very different.
Yeah. Yeah.
One's a romantic drama. The other's a classic comedy, at least, flicks-wise.
Right.
Do you like The Apartment?
Yeah, I'm a big fan. It's a Wilder I really need to see again, because it doesn't rank up there with some of my favorite Wilders, because I need to see it again, but certainly a fan.
You know,
how was your rewatch?
It's actually good, and I love Jack Lemmon. I think there are a couple scenes he just really is – the spaghetti scene, people that have seen it will know, he's just fantastic. It actually doesn't hold up as well. I mean, it's still very good, but it's with some of those classic comedies, when you watch it a second time, or actually the third time for me, it's still very good, but not the masterpiece I thought it was.
Sure.
And then the last digital spine of the year is Jean-Luc Godard's Weekend, which is a pretty explosive way to go out.
Yeah.
a lot of traffic, so that might play into the holiday travel. So that's it. Do you have any comments on Weekend?
We just rewatched that actually as part of my small movie group of three of us, and we really enjoyed. I don't know. I really liked the film quite a bit. I think Keith, some of the political, musings by Godard kind of rubbed him the wrong way, but all of the early just outrageous stuff at the beginning, he certainly enjoyed. So I like it. I like, some of the late Godard. It's not my favorite era. I do like the, the early to mid Godard especially, but it's definitely one that needs to be seen.
Yeah, I actually quite like it. And it is a little radical, I'd say. Yeah. And he got even more radical in his later work. So, I think it's important. So that's it. Happy New Year, Merry Christmas, Happy Festivus.
Yes, happy holidays.
We're done. So, how about Piece of Flair? Do you have one?
I do. Yeah, I'm just going to do a quick pairing of Pieces of Flair. First thing is I talked about watching a lot of movies late this year, and what's really helped that is MoviePass. So MoviePass is my Piece of Flair.
Really?
MoviePass is that, you pay $10 a month and you get you can watch one movie a day. Every day if you want, for $10 a month, as long as it's, it's good for a 2D movie. And they're having a deal right now. If you happen to be a Costco member, it's $90 for a full year. So instead of $120, for $10 for 12 months, it's $90. Plus you get a full year of Fandor with that.
Okay.
So that's it's a pretty good deal. And I compare it to a golf membership because, for me, if I have the card, I'm more apt to go see a movie because I feel like I've already paid for it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it's after the first movie, it's basically free for the rest of the month. So I think if I remember right, a few weeks ago, Jackie Carlson was asking about it on, on the group, do folks use it? Folks like it. And I'm definitely a fan. It's easy to use. You check into the movie on your phone and then you hand them their credit card to pay for it from MoviePass and you're good to go. So it's great.
I kind of geek out on the economics of this type of thing. And I like the, that it's a way to sell demand. So basically I think you have to check into a theater beforehand. Is that right?
Right.
So basically if they have inventory, they use it on MoviePass. So it's basically a way to sell their unused inventory. So I think that's
to an extent, but I think you can still, I've never been turned away. Right. So, unless it's a sold out show, I think the check-in part of it is really just to validate the fact that you haven't gone to see another movie that day and that it's a 2D movie. So then you can use your MoviePass credit card to pay for it.
Now, did you see, like, for Last Jedi, did you use that for that?
I didn't because we went to a 3D showing based on the time. but I will use it, planning to go see it probably once or twice more, you know, in 2D. So I will use it there. And it shouldn't be an issue. I know my local theater said no passes, but I believe that referred to only free passes that they have.
Right.
So because MoviePass, it's a credit card. So it's like paying, you know, full price for a movie. So,
okay. Well, I'm still on the fence. I have not, but that's the, you know, it refer to the grievances, the movie, movie going experience. Although I still love the popcorn, but that's, that actually has a problem too, because the, that goes to the other resolutions.
Well, my local theater has you know, they give points out, so you can get, like, you know, if you, the more you go, you get like a free popcorn after a while or a free ticket or something. So it's nice.
Does the movie pass contribute to that?
No. It does. It does. So you know, you can still get points even though you're paying for the movie with MoviePass. Oh, so it does.
Okay.
Does
not a bad deal. Yeah. All right. Well, I actually had trouble with A Piece of Flair this time, but I did go see The Last Jedi, and basically everybody on the planet is talking about this movie. And
they are.
So I contribute to that, but I did watch it, and I didn't love it. I need time. That's one thing. The Phantom Menace, when I first saw it, and again, airing of grievances, it's not the best theatrical experience. It's long.
It's longest Star Wars movie so far.
It is, yeah. And speaking of 3D, I kind of like 3D. Some parts I like, but like in character scenes, you just don't get that depth. You get the depth, like, as far as the dimensions, but you don't get like the pixel depth. So for example, when there's a character scene and say Kylo Ren and, or maybe not Kylo Ren, but say Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher are sitting next to each other, they kind of look like cardboard cutouts. So I think you lose
with
some,
the 3D,
you lose some of the density. So I did watch it in 3D and it was pretty good. I have some problems with it. Some of the writing is a little, they took some risks, but which I think kind of paid off and kind of didn't pay off. But I see that they, I got to be careful with spoilers.
There's always that. Yeah.
There's that. So I'm just going to leave it there. It's pretty good. I'm not down with the backlash. It's good enough. I mean, it's way better than any of the prequels, including Sith. And I would say, I think so far I prefer Force Awakens.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I do. But I might come around. We'll see.
Yeah, it's definitely different. It's been a grower for me. Like, I came out of the theater liking it quite a bit. And I felt like maybe it had some tone or pacing issues, but that's why I really want to see it again, because I feel like those will kind of dissipate for me on a rewatch. So I really feel like Rian Johnson, as far as a Star Wars movie, he really did take some risks, although some of it is familiar too. I talked to someone who felt like Disney was kind of checking the boxes, like with like the Porgs and, you know, some of the other
cute they want to sell
animals,
some toys. But, yeah.
Right. I'm definitely pro Porg. I think they worked.
Yeah. I like that part too. Yeah. I will say that some storylines I appreciate more than others. There's a couple in particular that I kind of was not as into. So that's all I'll say. So that's it.
Cool.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Where can people find you online, Mark Herney?
Well, they can find me on Twitter at Mark Herney, HURNE, and Letterboxd. I'm going to be posting my, you know, I realized I never posted a best of 2016 list. So I'm going to post that at some point between now and posting my 2017 list. I'll just put them both out there. So
yeah, maybe I'll do one too. Yeah. That's fun.
Cool. Yeah, and you did a really nice list of the your favorite movies of 2000 or favorite Criterion releases of 2017 ranked, but by film quality, not disc quality. So
right,
nice,
right.
Nice work.
I mentioned that on the Criterion cast too. So that's been a fun project. I already started my 2018 version. So the thing is, those haven't come out yet. All right. Well, you can find the show at Criterion Cast or the Criterion Now iTunes feed, Criterion Cast main feed. You can find us at the Facebook group, Criterion Now. That's where the Blue Christmas is happening. I'm at AWES505 on Twitter and Instagram. And if you want to see me and my cat, that's where you'll find me. As far as 2018, what's to come? We have, well, we're going to do a Criterion Cast New Year's Drawing episode, which will be fun. We have a new show coming out, which is absolutely positively going to happen, I promise. And more, we have some things scheduled, but I can't say anymore. So, but it'll continue, the force will be moving.
Yes, yeah, great work this year, again, Aaron, on Criterion Now. Look forward to talking to you some more.
Absolutely. Well, you'll be on a lot, so. All right.
Excellent.
Thanks for joining me, Mark. Happy 2017 and 2018.
Same to you, sir. Good to talk to you. Take care.